Easter, in a similar way, also Christmas, is one of those times where we remember in particular Jesus, clearly. As they say, the reason for the season. Christmas, the very name, Christ, is in it. We remember the incarnate God who came to dwell among us, who was born in the poor stable at Bethlehem. Today we remember this same God made man who overcame the greatest of our adversities, death. You all know the expression, no one gets out of death alive, or the only thing, no one gets out of death alive, no one gets out of life alive, oh goodness. It was a late night, blame me on that. The only thing we have certain in life is death and taxes. And as all you know, unless you're Franciscan, then it's just death. The fact is that death is the thing that we fear the most, maybe. Some surveys I was reading, they say the two biggest things that people fear, the first one is death and the second one is public speaking, which always amazed me that people would be so scared of this. But we do fear it because we were never meant to die. Death came into the world because of sin, in particular the sin of Adam. And so it's something which is repugnant to us. It's unnatural in a certain sense to us. And yet now it is part of life. Christ came, therefore, to take the fear away. He came to show that death is not the end. Not just to show, but actually to make it so. And so it is. Death is not the end. And we really need to think about that. You know, one of the great means for holiness for the Christian is to ponder death, is to remember death. It's not a morbid thought. I don't mean to be walking around moping all day, waiting for the day to come. No, not at all. But to remember that a day will come, and therefore we must be ready. Through the Passion, the Paschal Mystery, the Passion, Death, Resurrection, and Ascension of our Lord, the death for the Christian becomes something sweet. At least we know it's sweet. We may not feel that. The emotions aren't always that reliable in order to and how to judge things, whether they're good or bad. But we know it's something good now. A whole life might be this on the cross, maybe not as bloody or painful or horrendous, but it's a suffering. We might have a lot of suffering, but we know it will end. And we know when it ends, if we have strived to stay close to God, strive to live out His law, then we will have no more pain, and certainly no more death, but perfect joy. You know, we are called to be saints. And we hear sometimes people will say, they'll say to me, or, you know, what do you expect? I'm not a saint. And if you're a Christian, my response to you would be, why not? Was this in vain? The blood of God to the very last drop, was it in vain for your soul? Do you think it doesn't apply to you? Do you think that we can just get by, just scrape by into heaven? Now, God is merciful. He truly is merciful. If He was not, He would not be on the cross. If He was not merciful, we wouldn't be here today. But He asks something little from us, to keep our eyes on Him. You know what it is to be a saint? It's not flying around the room. It's not having these charisms where you're speaking all these other languages necessarily. That can happen as well. But that's no sign of holiness per se. Holiness is not having the stigmata. It's none of these things, or even doing miracles or healings. Saints normally, often, or at least often, do these things, but they're not a sign of holiness. A sign of holiness is simple: to seek and strive after God. That's it. To seek his will and to try to live out that will. And what is God's will? To love God above all things and love your neighbor as yourself. Simple, but difficult. And to do those things according to our state in life. If you're married, in that way. If you're a priest, a religious, if you're single, to do all these things according to your state of life. That is what God wants for you. It's really simple. And if we do that, and if we strive to do that, we will achieve this resurrection that Christ has achieved before us and for us. And you know, God isn't unreasonable. He knows that we're weak. He knows we have faults. He knows that sometimes we're just downright pathetic in our efforts even, let alone in the amount of times that we keep falling into the same sin. You know, we go into confession with the same laundry list. It's like, it's okay, Father, it's just exactly the same as last week. Okay, well, let's try again next week. It happens. But that's because we have to, you know, for all of us, huh? Not just to you, for all of us, it happens. But that's something we need to, that will decrease that list, or change at least to a better list, if that makes sense, when we learn how to love God better. And so God has given us these means of mercy, such as the confessional, where we can go there to the priest, who, yes, he's a man, but he's acting in the person of Christ, and we can have our sins forgiven, and we can know we are forgiven with infallible faith, with absolute knowledge, and we start again. And this is what the saints did. And this is what we must also do. If we really want happiness, and all of us do, there is no happiness outside of Christ. Not real happiness. There are moments of pleasure, of happiness, but they pass. Because when we achieve, or when we seek our pleasure in the passing things of this world, our pleasure is only passing. It is temporary. But in the cross of Christ, in God himself, it is permanent and infinite. And hence you see these saints who, even, for example, the martyrs of Nagasaki, back in, was it 1600, somewhere around there, they were crucified because they were followers of Christ. And they were singing while they were being crucified. They were singing the Te Deum, which is a hymn, a Latin hymn of thanksgiving. That's not natural, that's supernatural. And that's what God can give us as well if we give ourselves to him in the best way that we can. We need to remember that while it is scary maybe to look at the crucifix and say, God, you want that for me? We need to remember that no matter what we give him, he will always give more. It's like a good parent. No matter how much the children give, the parent always gives more. The parent gave life. The child can never give that back. And so it is with God, except on an infinite level. We need to be convinced, therefore, of the historic reality of this event. Christ truly rose from the dead. It is not a story, a fable, someone's imagination. It actually happened. And there is so much evidence for it. We just have to look and pray. It is there. We're talking about hundreds and then thousands at the day of Pentecost who took up this faith and preached the resurrection of Christ. And why would they? Because most of them were killed. It's not like they were getting some great financial advantage out of it, or places of power and authority. To accept this truth in the early church meant almost definite martyrdom. But the truth is the truth. And they saw that, and they held on to that, and they knew the hope that came with this reality. We are truly blessed to have been given the faith that we have. It can be hard to keep it in this world, especially in this Western world, where the whole world calls us as Christians, well, to put it nicely, unintelligent, unreasonable, irrational. And yet there's nothing more rational than God. And there's nothing more intelligent than taking the evidence, seeing the history, and not just the event itself, but 2,000 years of history of saints and people who have held this to be true and have lived it to be true and have borne the rewards, not just eternal life, which is the ultimate reward that we have, union with God, but the life that God gives us here and now. The resurrection starts now, not just after we die and then at the other resurrection. That's the final resurrection. But now we need to be born again. Yes, born again in Christ. If we have lost that, if we're a little bit on the side, a little bit wandering away, and it happens because there is so much outside of this church which is just battering us to look in other directions. You all know what's going on, especially in this age of mass media and multimedia. So many things, and they don't necessarily say not Christ, but it's anything but Christ. I mean, there was an era where this church would have been full to overflowing, even here in 2J, and not just on Easter, but every Sunday. We as a community, therefore, as Christians, need to hold on to what is true for our sake, for the sake of our children and our families, for the sake of the world. Christ changed the world with 12 poor fishermen. Well, one of them was a tax collector, but nevertheless. How much could he do to 2J and the surrounding areas if we were faithful, if we trusted God, if we held on to that mercy and love that he offers us, if we truly, truly try to love one another, if we let go of our selfishness, of our self-righteousness, and all those other things that put an obstacle between us and others. It is possible. When you die, the church should be able to canonize you. Canonize simply means this person's life is a model for every Christian. I know we're all sinners, some more than others maybe. But remember, Christ said, I came for sinners, not the righteous. So you're in good company. He wants you to rise again every day. Embrace the cross, because it is something sweet. As I've mentioned several times in the Triduum, it is a kiss from our Lord, as Blessed Mother Teresa used to call it. It's what holds us up. It is not what bears us down. We go, of course, to that one creature who was the first to receive the fruits of the resurrection, the Blessed Virgin Mary, the only one that we know for certain, the only one who has already risen from the dead and is now in heaven with her Son, assumed body and soul. We go to her for consolation as our mother. We go to her for instruction as our teacher. We go to her to hide when we fear the cross. And she will hold us close to her as a mother always does, hide us under her mantle and within her arms. And she will show us what it means to truly follow Christ, to never fear him. There is no need to fear God. I mean, fearing God is a virtue in the sense of we don't want to offend him, like you don't want to offend people whom you love. But never being afraid, like we might be afraid of a tyrant. God is not a tyrant. He's a father. And while we may have to suffer in this world, it will end with a glorious resurrection, if only we cling to him, we love one another, and we put our whole lives, our families, all those dear to us and all those who aren't dear to us, into the arms of Our Lady to carry us to Christ.